Okay. Allow me to pull up the agenda on my screen here.
Okay, and maybe so before, maybe Mr. Chair, before we start the meeting, we could ask the person with the phone number ending 3451 to identify themselves, just for the record.
Yes, I see that. Yes. Yes, would the individual with the telephone number ending in 4351, please identify yourself.
I don't have a microphone.
Oh, it's Jim Fissler, Mesa Water.
Thank you, Director Fissler.
Oh, welcome. Yes. Okay. All right. So I'm going to call the Orange County Water District's Communication and Ledge Liaison Committee meeting to order. Today is December 7th. Let's have a roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau, Director Tran, Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Amezcua is logging in. Director Meeks. Director Nguyen. Director Green.
Yes.
Director Amezcua.
Present.
Thank you. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay, thank you. So do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, thank you. Any visitor participation?
None online.
Okay, no virtual attendees. Any, I'm looking at the, the meeting room. Okay, good, thank you. All right, so let's see what's on the agenda. The first thing that we have is the consent calendar, which is consists of item number one.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
That motion carries 4-0.
Okay, thank you. All right, so for matters for consideration, item number two is a state legislative update. Mr. Marcus.
Well, I think I will defer to Mr. Gonzalez.
All right.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and directors. Jason Gonzalez, I'll start with the good news. The good news is the legislature is still on recess, returning first week of January. The bad news is, as of this morning, it appears the state projected state budget deficit has grown to $68 billion from just about 18 months back when we had a $100 billion surplus. Obviously, the budget portions have swung in a negative or the wrong direction. That said, just very briefly, given that they are in recess, as you know, we have a new speaker as of July of this year. The new speaker started making new committee assignments and leadership changes. Most notably, Assemblymember Petrie Norris is now the chair of the Utilities and Energy Committee, which is a position that could be very helpful to the district. And then on the Water Parks and Wildlife Committee, Assemblymember Diane Pappin from the Bay Area is the new chair of the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee. On the Senate side, we're kind of in a limbo because the existing current Senate President Pro Tem, Tony Atkins, and the Pro Tem-elect, Senator McGuire, have agreed to have the transition take place on February 5th. And the limbo piece of that is we will likely see a shakeup of committee chairs and membership post-February 5th, about a month after the legislature returns. So, things are a little bit fluid on the Senate side, but the long and short of it is the legislature will be back in January with a $68 billion deficit, new committee chairs in both houses, and plenty of work ahead. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or turn it over to Jason if I missed anything.
That's all very well said. The only thing I'd add is just obviously your board was involved in the opposition to the various water rights bills moving through the legislature last year. Two of those are two-year bills. And, you know, from what we can gather just from, you know, intel gathering in the Capitol and rumors on the ground, it seems likely that that is going to continue to be an issue that's worked on in 2024 and that the sponsors of those bills are interested in moving forward.
There are any questions of the state consultants?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. I was just moving to a different part of the house. I can have some privacy here. Yeah, any questions for the... Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Any questions for our Sacramento consultants?
No, Mr. Chair, I was just waiting for some good news. Christmas is coming up, right?
Yeah, that's not good. The $68 billion deficit. Okay, thank you. If no questions for our consultants, let's see. All right, we don't have any action, right, for this item?
No, it's a receive and file.
Okay, do we need to vote on that? No. Is that a yes that we don't need a vote?
Not need to vote on that, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So let's move on to item three, federal legislative update.
Good morning, everybody. So we don't have a $58 billion shortfall. I think we've got about a $4 trillion shortfall at the federal level. But let me give you some what I hope is some encouraging news on a much smaller level. First of all, it appears now on the financing of the federal government beyond February 2nd, which is the deadline for the continuing resolution to be fixed for issues of concern to Orange County Water District, specifically Representative Kim's commitment to provide funding assistance for the PFAS cleanup effort. At this time, the new speaker, Mike Johnson, has effectively said that he believes that we need to work with the Fiscal Responsibility Act agreements that were signed into law earlier this year, that essentially says for the next year, we are going to fund overall funding levels that would be equal to the fiscal year 2023. Numbers. The reason that's important is that the House had passed a number of bills that were seeking to reduce overall funding by as much as $120 billion, which would have effectively caused gridlock between the House and the Senate and ended up with a year-long CR that would have ended any potential opportunities to fund community project requests, including the cleanup of PFAS in the region. So we are hopeful that between, say, January 1st and February 2nd, that a final agreement will be reached on spending levels for the Interior and Environment budget, which includes EPA, which will then provide the Orange County Water District with funding assistance for cleanup. It will be busy, it will be a challenge, but you know, we're going to cross our fingers that we'll have a final agreement by February 2nd. And then you'll have that funding level. Looking forward from a sort of PFAS writ large issue, EPA yesterday released its what's called its unified regulatory agenda. And that is essentially detailing how the agency is going to go forward in the next several months with respect to a host of issues, and it includes PFAS. The agency has once again delayed finalization of designation of PFAS substances under Superfund that could end up creating all sorts of liabilities for cleanup for public agencies like OCWD. We had assumed that the agency is going to complete the rulemaking process and designate PFAS as a hazardous substance no later than early February. The agency is now saying that they are going to delay that designation process until the latter part of March 2024. And that seems to be a case of trying to delay efforts on the designation until the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works and the House figure out what they're going to do on a PFAS bill that would include passive receivers protection against liability. So right now, we're looking at federal legislation probably being reactivated after the Christmas break, starting in January 9th thereafter. And at that point, we'll see what happens with respect to the level of exemptions from liability if EPA were to go forward and designate PFAS as a hazardous substance under the Superfund law. I will say just, I'll go out on a limb and tell you that our conversations with the Committee on Environment and Public Works staff have indicated that there is a consensus now that there needs to be some kind of protection for liability with respect to the water sector. So we are at the stage now where nothing is permanent, but at least on a bipartisan basis within the Environment and Public Works Committee staff who have to write the legislation for Chairman Tom Carper and Ranking Member Shelley Moore Capito of the committee, that they are moving forward trying to figure out a path forward to define who is a passive receiver and how particularly the water sector will be protected against liability and maintain that the chemical companies that created the problem, 3M and folks like that, will be responsible for the cleanup of any kind of PFAS contamination. In addition to that, I just want to mention that as of today, Congress is in the process of finalizing the National Defense Authorization Act. That's the defense authorization bill. There's a multi-billion dollar authorization that gets done every year. Past years, there's been an effort to add onto the Defense Authorization Act PFAS efforts to clean up across the board, whether it's defense or non-defense contamination sites. This time around, because of the controversy surrounding liability and what have you, the defense authorization, the only thing it does that could perhaps impact OCWD and on a positive level is language that directs the Department of Defense to redouble its efforts to define and identify destruction technologies to deal with PFAS. So that's a good thing. And that, Chair, is a quick summary of where we stand on the issues of concern on County Water District. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Saperstein. Any questions for Eric?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
Eric, as far as that budget situation, sustaining and carrying forward, you said from 2022, has there been a projection on what the deficit might likely be in that eventuality?
So if we stick with the financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility act standards, that we would stay with FY23 levels. And as far as the increase, if you will, of the overall deficit for FY24, I have to research it, but my guess is we're in several tens of billions of dollars of deficit spending. And this is really driven by the Medicare, sort of the required funding of mandatory activities like Medicare and Medicaid.
Have they been making the argument to people who are proponents of cutting spending? Have they been making arguments that carrying forward this way is likely to exacerbate our inflationary pressures, the printing of new money again?
Yeah, I mean, we're unfortunately in the circumstance where the debate is not to cut more from the budget, but just to stay at FY23 levels. So I think you would have to assume going forward that we're just going to add on to the overall debt and the deficit numbers for FY24 should be in, we can expect that it'll be several tens of billions of dollars in funding over, call it a balanced budget. It won't be a balanced budget in FY24.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Eric?
Eric, when do you think we'll go bankrupt?
You know, I think irrespective of who wins election for president and the House and the Senate, I would believe that in the next cycle, the budget cutting is really going to start happening. As far as going bankrupt goes.
Yeah, I was being facetious.
I know you were. But
so, there's been this talk of this budget commission to come up with a bipartisan budget commission, but to come up with some plan over, 5 years or 10 years to be able to ease into reducing the deficit to zero so that we don't increase the debt. I haven't seen any legislation on that. Where's that at? I know we're probably getting off the subject right now, but where are you familiar with that topic?
Yeah. So what is going on right now is there is this call to create a commission. We've seen this happen before where the most positive one was years ago when they basically set numbers that would reduce the growth every year for several years and then reduce overall spending. My guess is that as part of an agreement in the final spending bill in February, that they'll include a mandate for a commission to study recommendations to reform the budget process. I know that doesn't necessarily get to the point of, well, are we going to cut spending? That won't happen till after the presidential elections and they look at FY25. And at that stage, I think between creating a commission now to study how to reform and update the Budget Act, but also during the 25 process, that will be a function, FY25 function, will be a function of who is president, who runs the House, who runs the Senate. And that's where we'll see, I think, cutting back on spending.
Yeah, the only way to do it is to vote no on the debt ceiling, increasing it. Just, you have to stop it, in my opinion. Some people don't like that. It needs
no problem. It's good.
All right.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, thank you, Director Sheldon. So Eric, if I heard you correctly, you mentioned that the earmark that Congresswoman Kim is getting for us is intact, right? Okay, that's good news. Thank you. All right. So it looks like this is another receive and file item. So thank you very much, Mr. Saperstein. Moving on to item number 4, 2024-2025, Orange County Water District legislative policies and state and federal legislative goals and strategy.
Thank you. That will just, Gina's gonna pull up a little PowerPoint. And what we did over the last few months is we reached out to water producers, most of you staff and consultants, and came up with some, and added their recommended policies in red to our existing policies. We already have a very large policy document that covers quite a variety of topics. So these bits in red are just the suggested edits. Most are dealing with water supply, and then the others are dealing with funding.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Gina, when you go, I'm sure you're going to go through this. Could you point out anything in addition to those that are new that are different from what we currently have?
Red
is the only thing that is.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah. So this is what it would look like in the final, the large document. This is a summary of all the changes in the PowerPoint that were recommended by producers for. This is a summary of all the changes.
Right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can go through all of these slowly. So the first one, the first category is under water supply. and it was to add water supply to the authorized use of Plato Dam. And just to chime in here, the good thing about this idea is Congresswoman Napolitano has a draft bill that we haven't brought to yet, so it's still just being drafted, that would do just this. So it hasn't actually been dropped. It doesn't have a bill number. Hopefully in January when it's available, we'll bring that to the committee for their review, specifically add water supply to the authorized use of dams, which would include Plato Dam, that are managed by the U.S. Forest.
Alicia, let me add to what you just said. We anticipate that this legislation will be introduced, but ultimately it's going to become part of the Water Resources Development Act of 2024 bill that the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure will consider sometime later this late winter, early spring. And Representative Napolitano is the ranking member on the subcommittee of jurisdiction within the full committee, and this is a priority for her.
So do you want me to keep just going through these? Okay.
It's a fabulous idea of water supply. We've talked about that. I think flood control is the main, the only one now, and now we can steal from the Delta and have two co-equals of water supply and water and flood control, right?
All these changes.
And we run that by the court.
Adam Hutchinson has emailed the draft bill to the core, our contact for children. That's what they're back.
Thank you.
So the next item is just to include affordability into an existing policy that we have. So you can see. And then there was just an edit to an existing policy, which is to encourage economical outdoor water use efficiency while preserving flows for existing reuse. So it's just a little tweak to our existing policy. And then the next is
You know, affordability is such a subjective term that we've always, it's affordable because it's always affordable because we make it as affordable as possible by keeping our costs as low as possible. I think we're potentially imposing something on ourselves that we do not intend to do by putting it in there.
Okay.
That's just when you go to the California Coastal Commission and you talk affordability, what that says to them is you're going to have a different rate structure based upon the
ability to pay.
The ability to pay. Yeah. So I think that means a lot more than maybe what we intended to mean.
And I believe that came from Mason Water. So it's really most of the retailers that are.
They're socialists.
So you'd rather say something about keeping costs low, keeping
is low cost. Smaller, low cost. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that we've done low cost, haven't we, before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a low cost.
Yes. I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
So it looks like the committee wants to tweak it, change affordability to low cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one would be to encourage economical outdoor water use efficiency while preserving flows for existing reuse.
Like that it says encourage, not mandate.
That's it, yeah. And then the next one is ensure indoor water use efficiency does not impact recyclable wastewater flows.
Well, can we include and oppose mandated consumption, indoor. I mean, I'd like to add to it, and something if we're going to talk about indoor, then I think we shouldn't be silent on the mandate of the indoor water use, right? I mean, that's the other issue at hand, isn't it?
So I don't think we want to go to that extreme.
That's not extreme. That's actually reasonable. What's extreme is rationing water, Roger. We're not being extreme. We're responding to the extremism.
I understand. We don't want to fight rock with a rock.
Roger, I mean, when the government is rationing and mandating the minimum amount of water, max amount of water, they're the one starting. We have to represent our constituents who want that and don't want us to capitulate with those that are trying to impose on them that they don't want. That's our job. I think our constituents would rather not have all of these mandates. I don't think we're not picking anything. We're responding to it. We're defending our constituents.
In a way, the next change does address that.
Okay.
Kind of a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Ensure indoor water use efficiency does not impact recyclable wastewater flows.
So that's just the part of it. I mean, it's bigger than that.
Right.
I'm just saying, we're going to bring up the subject. I think we should. I said what I thought. So, Roger, I agree with you, but we didn't start it, so I think we have to respond to it.
We can respond appropriately, but this is just a high level policy, I believe. So I think that covers it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the policy that gives our staff the ability to go and do things because they're implementing the policy. So it's important I think we should have it there. I mean, we've done letters that we have opposed these mandates. We passed a resolution on it, Roger.
I think we did we not like revoke that,
no.
Mr. General Manager?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I thought it was I think I voted yes, but later I thought maybe it was a bit premature. But okay, well, we have another member here on the committee. Mayor Amezcua, do you have any opinion on that?
No, I mean, you know me, you ask like opinions, but I think we're on the right track here. And so I think Director Sheldon's got some good points. But yeah, whatever we want to vote on, I do believe that being transparent is very important and taking care of our constituents that we serve. And so how we word it is critical.
Could we just reference that resolution and without restating everything, just reference that, and that would be a little more palatable.
We could. Yeah, that would be more comprehensive. Yeah, okay. Just keep the language and then reference to that.
Roger. Yeah, I get that. I mean, you're right. Yeah, I mean, how you say it's really important. I don't mean to be.
Yeah, I don't want to pick fights. I mean,
I don't either.
I don't want to pick a fight. I have enough fights.
Yes, exactly. So I think it's a good comment. Let's just reference the.
I want to add on to the end of the sentence as outlined in resolution, board resolution.
Including the resolution. The language of the reference. So it'd be, and why don't we just say, ensure indoor water use reliability as outlined in the resolution or something like that, because that what's put in there is in the resolution.
Mike, can I ask you again to repeat what you said here? I'm looking at it.
Oh, I was just looking, Director Mezcua, at the third bullet at the end of where it says flows for existing reuse. Add on to that something about including the board as described in the board resolution.
Yeah, but that then says it only related to that one topic. And I think we're talking about the bullet point below that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ensure indoor water use reliability as outlined in resolution XYZ. And because then that would include because in that resolution, it does talk about the not impacting recycled water. But it's not limited to just that. So ensure indoor water use reliability as outlined in resolution XYZ, whatever the name
is. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We are facing stair-stepped reductions at a per capita level of water use indoors, and that'll be a fairly hard mandate. So I think probably to be stronger on it now is a good idea. We may be able, with changing conditions, to be able to get some traction on that.
No. Okay. I honestly, I just don't want to pick a fight. Do you really think that we ought to go that strong to push back?
Well, our silence would be interpreted as consent, and I think the board really doesn't consent to this.
I agree 100%. Our silence will say everything. And I don't think we're picking a fight. I think we're just...
And it's really benign. We're just referencing indoor water use reliability as outlined in the resolution. So it's a fairly benign statement.
Correct.
And it's defending our use to ample recyclable supply, which is something we have a tremendous investment in as well. So.
Okay, would the staff help us refine the language to reflect the desire of the committee?
Yeah, we're trying to do that right now, Mr. Chair, but unfortunately we're not able to share a screen and make changes at the same time.
Okay.
Hold on, we're putting
Director Whitaker, may I ask you to take over temporarily? I have a situation here I must attend to.
A cute little daughter?
No, my mother is with me today. So
That's nice.
I'll be right back.
No worries.
No problem. Now, is this going to be final changes at this point?
Inshore water reliability as outlined in the OCWD board adopted resolution.
Is it really indoor use reliability? Is that what the resolution speaks to?
I'm just trying to do the most benign statement right there to satisfy everybody in the room, Mike.
I'm just saying with efficiency.
Indoor water use, but I took out efficiency. That's why I came to reliability.
Or indoor water use.
Ensure indoor water use reliability, or I don't know, water use what word would you recommend?
Ensure ample indoor water use.
Yeah, well, ensure indoor. I don't know. That's.
You're getting away from a hard mandate per capita.
Yeah, you're trying to get away from the use efficiency, which was used in the legislation. Ensure indoor water use.
I think
is not limited. Calvin,
can I? When you initially started this conversation, you said just to include the resolution, and so I think we're really starting to get away from that. It's per the resolution, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, how about just ensure water reuse per the resolution? That's good.
I mean, however you said it initially, I don't recall because I'm listening and working at the same time here. But you said per the resolution, and that's all we wanted to add was that language.
Well, how about if we said ensure indoor water use is not limited?
Okay, per the resolution.
Per the resolution. Right.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's better than.
Or is not legislatively limited?
Just limited.
It's fine. Limited is okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the next one is support state and federal legislation to manage salinity and source water supplies. And the board did take a support position on a federal bill that does deal with salinity. So this is just adding a policy that the board has already taken action on in the past. And then the next one is gain congressional approval for a reallocation of the use of Prado Dam to maximize water capture through the use of Furo and gain a permanent major deviation or greater. And this came from Durbalinda Water District. And then the next category is kind of
maybe what we can do is just put that last slide up so that the directors that are on Zoom can see it.
Well, I think you all see it, right?
Can you see it?
Yes.
Director Mesqua, can you see it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you see the changes we're making on the fly.
From what I can see here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see her, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I see her mouse moving.
Your mouse is good.
Sorry.
Okay, so the next slide is under the categories funding. And it's obtained funding for PFAS cleanup and any upcoming climate or water bond in the amount of $50 to $75 million retroactive to when California drinking water response levels were lowered in 2020. And the next is
Alicia, I'm back, sorry. So this is the retroactivity clause, right? In that.
Yes.
That we're looking for. Great. Okay. Thank you.
And if there's if the state legislature does develop any kind of bond in the future, we would want to pursue specific funding in there. Because the state budget is probably going to be a deficit, so there won't be money there. And the next item, there is kind of this unspoken $5 million per cap project when we're trying to apply for SRF funds. It's not really in print, but it's kind of the reality of what the staff are doing when they're issuing funding. So we want to work to lift that kind of $5 million per project cap, and then also to allow for multiple applications per project, because like Mike's always bringing up, like there's a lot of projects per city. So cities need to be able to apply for multiple projects.
Right now, the policy with SRF is to only allow up to $5 million per retail water agency for grant funding. And what we're having to do is we have several phases. In other words, with Fullerton, let's say, right now we're working on the main plant. There's going to be several other wells that will require treatment, and yet we can only receive $5 million in grant funding for the Fullerton wells.
Regardless of size or volume, right?
Exactly. So Anaheim, who's spending $120 million for their wells, can only receive up to $5 million. Yorba Linda the same way. And this retroactivity would allow us to receive monies that we've spent for some of the early adopters, mainly Yorba Linda and, Fullerton.
The Rano, right?
Kim 1A well.
This is a list of wants. We should state clearly what we want as opposed to what is. That's for sure.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Sheldon.
What comes to mind is the paradigm is that they're giving a one-size-fits-all grant regardless of the size of the project, and sounds like we want to advocate for a funding based upon the size of each project, not one-size-fits-all, which would be additional language. And what we have is good, but that's additional. That asks them to relook how they're even...
You're referring to bullet number two, right?
Yes,
And you're right.
Yeah, that's the SRF. It's not a grant, right? It's a loan that we, because we're taking the lead on a lot of these projects, we want to work to lift that $5 million cap.
That was my other question. Is SRF grants or loans? Or
grants. We should have grants in there.
It's grants. And loans or just?
Just grants.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought SRF was mostly loans, but I guess it's grants too.
You don't have to pay back. Some of the federal money, the IRA money that was approved a couple years ago, put in PFAS funding for over a 5-year period and allocated certain amounts of each of those 5 years. The feds then move the money over to the state of California is dispersing those grant funds through the SRF program. So it's a bit confusing.
I associate SRF with loans, but it gets...
No, and you're right. Yeah, okay. Most people, that's normally what they would do.
Roger did that also.
Sir, can I speak, please?
And so have we been working like as joint applicants for those grants with the cities, or this sort of like encouraging locals to piecemeal projects? In our case, we're going to access... optimize our chances of getting grants, we'll have to submit multiple, right?
Yes, and what we found out also was that it has to be the retail water agency that applies for these grants. So we've been working with each of the cities with the grant applications for this funding. I thought originally, and Director Sheldon's right, I thought we were looking at saying something up to 50% of the project with a cap. I thought we had a cap much higher. We had a cap of 30 million.
Oh.
So it would take care of those cities that have the, to the point that was raised earlier, it would take care of those cities that are spending much more on their projects than others. In other words, East Orange County has two wells, and you know, so they'd get 50% of whatever they spent, and they spent about $6 million. So this would allow them to receive $3 million. Anaheim spending $120 million. We don't want to have a cap of five.
We want is more equitable cost sharing.
Yes.
And then, at least with state and federal monies, that tends to translate to more citizens served in each case. So it's a fair way of distributing among.
So it would just be a matter, I would suggest, of what we should advocate that cap be.
Well, so the staff at that agency is kind of implementing or imposing that themselves, right? They're coming, and that would be a state statute or federal? They're
state.
Okay.
These are
so
their own.
Do we want a member of legislature to carry something to implement what we just said?
You know, I would refer to our state consultants. If you're still on the line, I can't see this.
I know.
See who's on.
We're here.
Jason is still online.
This is Jason Gonzalez. We can reach out to the agency as well as through your legislative delegation and determine if it's something they can change by way of regulation or if it requires statutory change.
I think maybe where Director Shelton was going, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, is if this is a policy that has been adopted by the state board, if they're not willing to change the policy, could we run legislation that would kind of mandate the way they distribute the money?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Yes. And we could do it legislatively. And again, you know, not to put too much pressure on Assemblymember Petrie Norris, but given her new role as chair of the Utilities Committee, she would likely be in a good spot to raise the inquiry as to what steps need to be taken, whether she can put legislative pressure or if we need legislation. But either one can be done, yes.
I agree with Jason. I'd add also that you know, to the extent that a water/climate bond gets off the ground, there may be a leveraging opportunity there as well.
And just from our consultants,
we're not going to leverage our support for a bad water bond for something else that they should do. So let's not go there. Thank you.
And I would ask our consultants what they would consider a reasonable cap would be.
I would think we'd want to ask for maybe even doubling it, and with the expectation of getting $7.5 million, or you know, PFAS, one entity could have several wells. So could you have the cap applied to each project within, you know, an applicant versus agency?
Right. I think we're looking at some type of a formula that does it based upon the amount of water being treated or the size of the project versus just one size fits all grant. So kind of the direction you're going, Jason, but you know, we can develop that thought more
scalable.
Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking that, we should pursue that, but at the same time, I think there is a way around this, right? Like we could have a project that has multiple wells and kind of break it up into pieces. Although that's not the best way to do projects, but you know, we could actually submit multiple applications for each well. So this is, I think, where staff can be creative and try to capture as much money as possible. There is not like transportation funds where they're, it's like north south split, right? Of some sort, is wherever the needs arise, correct? And then they evaluate the worthiness of the applicants, the applications. I'm asking the two Jasons.
I think, you know, again, reaching out to, through your legislative delegation, getting more of a basis as to why there, it's either a regulation or statutory limitation. But yes, we would have flexibility as to how we could structure either legislation or request for regulatory changes. And that, you know, there's quite a bit of flexibility as to what we can ask for.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, Mr. Sheldon.
No, go ahead and finish your thought. I want to say something different that's related, but different than what we're, this exact topic.
No, I think I'm good. Okay. Let's hear your thoughts.
So my comment is on the, you know, on the retroactivity. Can that be put into a bill as well?
It could, and you know, notwithstanding the comment you had just made, Director Sheldon, I mean, I think the thought here was to target this for any future bond that it could be in, and that would be part of the language in the bond.
Yeah, but then we're leveraging ourselves. I know what you're saying, but then there's a quick pro quo that I'd rather not have to enter into. So if we could do an independent bill, I mean, just in light of everything that we've stepped forward with and all the good things everyone tells that we're doing, because we stepped up first and fast and we did, we certainly shouldn't be penalized. And we should be able to change statutorily, change the rules. If the state board's not been willing to, or they can't, let's statutorily do it independent of any bond measure that may or may not happen. Is that correct thinking or not correct? Seriously.
So just giving my personal opinion, Director Sheldon, I'm curious what Jason thinks. I think that, you know, the play for additional funding here isn't a bond, given the serious deficit that the state has. I don't think that we're in a situation where it's likely that there's going to be any significant funding package next year and potentially in a future budget year on water outside of that. And so that is the avenue to getting a pot of funds that could be used retroactively in place for Orange County Water District to take advantage of, if that is what you're wanting to do. And again, recognizing that you may, you know, have, you know, beliefs that are in conflict with having additional state debt. And that's obviously a policy decision for the board.
Well, no, let me just put that the state aside. The money's, there's money coming in from the feds. And I think the state water board is saying they can't give out retroactively for some reason or another. I mean, I don't think we need to. I think there's already money there, but they won't spend it retroactively. And so we want to change the rules so they can spend what's already there retroactively. We're not trying to create a new source of funding. We're trying to affect the existing monies there.
Okay, I apologize. I may have misunderstood, Director Sheldon.
That's okay.
So you're not talking then about this first bullet. You're talking about, you know, you're talking Sorry. About funding that. So I think the first question there, not to toss the hot potato over to Eric, but I think the first question would be whether federal law would actually allow a state legislature to make the choice to award that retroactively or not. And again, as Jason Gonzalez said, that's something we could work with your delegation to look into.
Thank you.
And Director Sheldon, the only thing I would add to that is the thought on whether it's bond funding or grant funding or what have you, the thought was the more recognition we get by use of the term of retroactive to the adoption of the response levels was one, it could give you an additional pot of funding to go after, but also, you know, recognizing there's still going to be future costs for PFAS cleanup. But the second piece was really to acknowledge the proactive and immediate steps the district took, and not, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, not punish you for the significant investment. So it was a way of trying to bifurcate pots of funding in acknowledgement of your immediate responses.
I appreciate all of that. Mike, I'm wondering, when the state board denied our request for retroactivity, did they cite any federal prohibition, or was it their own?
No, they haven't denied our request for retroactivity, actually, but it doesn't go retroactive all the way back to June of 2020, when the regulation first came into place.
But they haven't granted it either, so it's...
Correct.
So, didn't they have it said why they, as we've been, have we been told why it has not been granted for that time period? That
well, the original criteria was the project had to be in construction in order to be in oil obtain funding.
Right. I know that, but when we asked for it to be retroactive, was there a specific answer back as to why they wrote those guidelines? Can they write different guidelines?
Yes.
And so they're unwilling to write different guidelines.
Correct. They've given retroactivity, but not as far back as we had requested, because those projects, and it was Yorba Linda and I think Kim 1A also, had already been completed.
Completed, right? Yeah, they sometimes give out grants for projects that are in construction, but not for something that's already complete. Right.
But in this case, they've taken like 2 years and they still haven't developed the criteria to release the grant.
This was a public health issue. We stepped up on it. It's like an emergency. It's if there's a.
I'm not arguing, but we
need to go back and if they won't, I mean, I'm not trying to be aggressive, Mr. Chairman, but like if they politely said no, we can politely say, well, we're going to go the other due process route and go to the legislature and see if they'll do this for us. That's all I'm saying.
I guess we could reach out to our delegation to encourage them, right, to arrive at whatever conclusion faster.
Right, and we have to have, I mean, I was just thinking another thing is just eliminate the cap to say gain grant funding for up to 50% of each project.
That's a different issue. Because if we're not, we can't apply for that other money. I mean, I think we're talking about two separate issues.
Well,
we're not eligible for any funding for in a certain time period. We're not eligible to even apply for that.
Yeah. I'm just saying for normal grant funding, they will not give more than 50% funding.
Right. But we can't apply. We're ineligible to apply for some of our expenses because they were pre a certain date when they were constructed.
For a couple projects, yes.
Okay. That's what I was referring to on the legislation.
Yeah. The retroactivity, we're saying normally they would wait until everything was fully cooked. In other words, they had all the criteria set and then say, okay, now projects can apply. You know, we've got the funding. But in our case, while they've been developing these things, we've been building and completing projects. So that's where this original retroactivity comes in. Which they've agreed to. That they've. Do you know how far the retroactivity is?
I think it was November 21.
November 21. The regulations came out in June 2020 or February 2020. So there were some projects during that period of time.
Can you guess?
There was the funding wasn't
right
available at that.
So I guess I don't want to slow down this meeting today. So we could have them have our lobbyists come back to us next meeting and with a report of what they think how we can.
Yeah, we can.
That time period that we were ineligible, we were not eligible to apply for money.
Sure, we can certainly take a look at that,
Mr. Chair. I just have one additional thing. If they're not going to embrace the idea of retroactivity, they're signaling to all public agencies that in public health emergency that we should drag our feet and take a lot of time moving on these things. And I think that's a very destructive message.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so we just have to, we're going to lean on our Sacramento consultants to reach out to the appropriate party to see if we could effectuate some change there. So
with the policy, do we want to be specific as we are here, or would it?
I would just say that you seek change of statute or regulation related to ineligibility and
for retroactivity.
Retroactivity. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. If necessary, right? I mean, we're still trying to influence the regulatory agency. And if unsuccessful, then we might. That sentence there is that we might go the legislative route.
Do we take water bond here? That way we just leave it more open, whether we do statutory, legislative, or water bond?
Well, no, I think it affects the second bullet. No. I think they're
I'm sorry.
It's probably a whole new bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love that other bullet, but
in lieu of the second bullet, we have something a little bit more overarching for any PFAS grant funding through the. Well, this is in lieu of the second bullet.
Yeah, yeah. I'll delete it after we get this.
Any grant funding through the state?
Or whomever.
Any grant funding? Yeah, I guess that's right. Through either state or federal. State or federal grant funding. That.
But I expand the cost eligibility.
Yeah, that eligibility. The cost eligibility. Should begin when the regulation was adopted.
Exactly. That would make any sense.
Would that be adequate for a kind of a policy, and then we take out the second one.
Okay.
And do we want to say something about maximizing individual project eligibility?
No, I think we can do that, right? I mean, that's if the door is open for local agencies to do that, we don't have to state our strategy. If
okay,
or nothing about it.
What does the committee think?
If we eliminated the second bullet and replaced it with the third bullet,
I mean the second bullet that said gain allowance, sure.
Mr. Chair, I need to let you know I have to sign off at 1 o'clock. So,
okay, we'll speed this up.
No,
I think those are separate issues. I think you can
thank
keep
you.
I think they're separate. Yeah, I think you add the third. I don't know why you delete the second, but
what's that, Director Shelton?
The second bullet is different than the third one, so I would keep them. I don't know why you don't.
Okay,
but we move on.
But we want to. Up to 50% of the project period, or do we want to add a cap to it, advocate for a cap for projects?
With no cap.
So gain allowance to us up to 50% per project. Yeah, period. So it'll maybe eliminate the next advocate for a grant program that is not based on once, but was based on. Okay.
Does that look good for the group?
Does that look good to the committee? Okay.
Okay.
Keep going, Alicia.
Okay. So pursue additional PFAS funding through federal programs. I think we already say that. But do we need to say we added federal already in the third bullet? So can we delete this second to last one?
It looks like it's repeated. So
okay.
And then the last one is obtain WaterSmart grant of $2 million for planning and CEQA compliance to support the Sunset Gap project, and 50% grant funding for construction, which is estimated about $150 million.
Looks good.
Okay.
It's specific, but I think it is good for the board and the policymakers, the elected officials, to know what we're looking
for. We're done. Thank you all.
Hey, thank you very much, Alicia. Thank you, everybody.
This was an action item, so we probably
yes. So are you satisfied, Director Sheldon, with the
application? Very happy, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
How are we?
Okay, so the recommendation is to agendize for the December 20 board meeting to approve our legislative policy with a draft markup.
I moved it.
Yes.
And I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
And motion carries 5-0.
Who are you back? On the screen. Without disconnecting.
Sorry. It's not coming up there. Where was it? I know. I did.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I was on mute. Yeah, thank you very much. Let's move on to item 5, Children's Water Education Fiscal Update.
All right, there we go. Hold on.
There we go. Okay. We lost the screen there for a minute.
Okay. Great. Danny Birch is going to give a brief update on where we are with the Children's Water Education Fiscal.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'll make it quick. So the 2024 Children's Water Education Festival planning is underway.
Like that. Let's go. Go ahead.
So this is OCWD's largest event. It's now in its 27th year. And we invite third, fourth, and fifth graders, public and private schools all across Orange County to attend this event. For the 2024 year, we are doing it on March 27th and 28th at UC Irvine. As far as registration, we have almost 6,000 students registered. And just for context of how many students that is, last year we had about 4,200 students attend. So we're really happy about that. 18 presenters, 13 volunteers, and 3 confirmed sponsors, amounting in $10,000. Dollars. And we're just going to continue to follow up with all of those different groups, try to get more involvement and continue those meetings to help plan the event as well. And if you have any questions, I can answer those.
Okay, thank you. Any question from the committee? Okay, thank you very much for that information. Last item that we have is the Public Affairs Outreach Report. Gina.
Chair Yeo, it's up to you at the pleasure of the committee. Since we're kind of over time, I had a brief presentation, but it's all in the packet. So up to you and what the preference of the committee is.
Okay, so we'll have the directors review the packet. Thank you very much. Let's see. Thank you, Gina. So we're going to, I would put all of the items on the upcoming board meeting on the consent calendar. Is that appropriate for the group, to the group?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any director's announcement? Hearing, seeing none, general manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. We're adjourned. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.